Good evening. It is great to see everyone back this evening. I would invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 21. It's where we will begin our lesson this evening. This evening, those young men kicking off our service reminds me of this past week. I appreciate them very much for doing so. Thursday evening, we've tried to have a couple of the young men throughout the week do our devos. And as those young men have gotten older this week, we had three young men that did our devos. And Thursday evening, one particular young man was very vulnerable, laid everything out. And the way that everyone responded afterwards to embrace him and then one another, it was really powerful. I think about these verses. We're going to go down to here in John 21 to verse 15. I think about these verses, and I want you to think about the requirement behind them and what Jesus is saying. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." We think about this interaction with Jesus and Peter. And you can go back to John chapter 13 for just a moment. We'll pick up there here in a second. John chapter 21, we think about Peter having denied Jesus three times. And he asks three times, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" When Jesus asks this question in verses 15 and 16, the word that he uses is agape. The word that Peter uses is phileo. Finally, the third time that Jesus asks, he asks phileo. Peter responds with phileo, brotherly love. Agape being that self-sacrificing love. Now, when you think about Peter, we give him a hard time at times, but I want you to think about this. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, really in Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascends. Peter is the one who says, "Hey, listen, we got to get to work here. We got to get busy. We need to replace Judas. We've got to get going." He may not have understood exactly what was going to happen. What he did know was Jesus, in verse number 8, told them that they were going to stay in Jerusalem. They were going to be endowed with power from on high. They were going to be witnesses to him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the utter ends of the earth. And you watch the book unfold, that's exactly what happens. And Peter in Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 5, you watch each time as he preached that first gospel sermon in Acts 2, the next one in Acts chapter 3, and you watch each time. This is a man who now is convicted, who now says, "I am going to do what Jesus said." Jesus here ends in verse number 19, "Follow me." Take action. Be busy. Thursday evening, I watched people be busy. I watched people take action. That's someone who said, "I have a struggle in this life, and for a while I didn't know how I was going to be able to handle it." And he wasn't going to handle it by himself. But he was going to handle it with the people around him. What he realized is he's loved. And people don't just say, "I love you." People actually demonstrated it and showed it. This is the expectation here that Jesus had of Peter. I expect you to do something, to act on something. I expect you, Peter, notice, feed my sheep. If you love me, then you're going to act on it. Feed my sheep. If you love me, tend my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. Do something. Be active. Go back to John 13 for just a moment. Notice what Jesus has to say here. John chapter 13, this is his last night. He is speaking to his disciples, and we quote these verses often. We talk about these verses often. But we've got to not just read it. We're not just going to talk about it. We actually have to do it. There in verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Do you notice what he said there? Verse 34. "You love one another as I have loved you." There's the standard. That's the standard that he gives. That's the expectation that he has. You love one another as I have loved you. That's what I expect of you. You know, if you start in verse 36 down through verse 38. Think about these words. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered, said to him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." What happened? He denied him three times, and the rooster crowed. He went out and wept bitterly. Godly sorrow. That's what he demonstrated. You know what led to repentance? Because you watch Peter, just as we talked about through the book of Acts, he acted, didn't he? You see, he had godly sorrow that led to repentance, leading to salvation, led to repentance. Did you see the change? He did exactly as Jesus asked him to do. Follow me. Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. That's your job. Get busy. Be active. Do things. All too often I will say to somebody, "I love you." I'll talk about me because it's easy. "I love you. You need anything, call me. If there's anything I can do for you, you let me know." What happens when you call and I don't show up? You gonna call me again? Why would you? That guy's lip service. He didn't follow through. He didn't do what he said he was going to do. "But I told you I love you." Yeah, but you didn't show it. You didn't demonstrate it. You didn't act on it. We got to be people of action. That's what Jesus is saying here in John 13. You know, Jesus' love was always action. Every time. Every time it was action. And that love was demonstrated. We talk about this morning in Bible class. I want you to think about this. How many times did Jesus go beyond the Jordan? Did you read this morning? Several times, right? He went to the other side. What about those people on the other side of the river? Were they always the nicest to the children of Israel? Not even close. They sure weren't. Yet he went there. John chapter 4, he goes through Samaria. You know that John chapter 4 starts off with Jesus saying, "You must go through Samaria." Must. This is purposeful. This is planned. I must go through there. And he meets a Samaritan woman at the well. Blows her mind because he's a Jew and speaks to her. Not only does he speak to her, he tells her everything that he knows about her. And she goes to tell everybody, there's this man at the well. You suppose they knew he was a Jew before they got there? Yep, sure would have. You suppose they knew everything about her? Yep, they sure did. They knew everything. I think about that with one another. And I think about that with men like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, when he got to Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, tells them, "I didn't want to know anything about you except Christ and Him crucified. I just need to know if you're a Christian, if you're going to live it. That's all I need to know. That's all I want to know about you." I'm going to demonstrate love, and I'm going to show it to you in every way that I can. I'm not going to be up here to talk down to you or down about you, Paul says. I just need to know, are you a follower of Jesus? Look with me at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, this goes right along, and this is the same night, this goes right along with what Jesus has just said in John chapter 13. Go down to verse number 12 here of John chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another, again, as I have loved you. You see, there's the standard. And in verse 13, he continues, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I've commanded you to do. This is my commandment, not suggestion. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And here is how that's demonstrated in verse 13. You can't demonstrate any greater love than to lay down your life for the life of your friends. You be willing to put your life on the line for somebody else. You love them that much that you will put them and their life ahead of you in your very own life. It's exactly what he did. There's the standard in verse 12. And then he's going to carry through. He's going to actually lay down his life. And he's not just going to do it for his friends. He's going to do it for the people who hate him the most. And the first thing that he's going to say is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not, hey, they're my enemies and we got to get these guys. No, he's going to stay right there. And he's going to demonstrate that love. It's exactly what he expects you and I to do. To set that expectation of ourselves that we are going to follow his standard. That we are going to live up to it. Because we can live up to it. You understand that in verse 12, when he says, a command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, it means you and I can meet that commandment. That we can meet that expectation. That we can do it. Is it easy? Not always. Should it be though? If we understand what he did. This morning we talked about that with the Hebrew writer. Thinking about all that Jesus did. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12 for a minute. Hebrews chapter 12. And think about this expectation that Jesus gives here. You look at verses 1 and 2 and we think about being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses that it would cause us to take action, to lay aside those snares and the sins which easily ensnare us, that weight that we carry around, lay it down. And what do? I look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. Notice what he does. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Lest you become weary and discouraged. Lest you stop following those commands. For no reason to stop following them. A man who endured hostility, beating, scourging, crucifixion, mocking, everything that he endured at the cross. And you and I can endure. And we can lay down our life. We can have the attitude and the willingness and the readiness to take action and demonstrate love. Not just say it, but demonstrate it. Make sure that those around us see it, know it, feel it, so that they too can follow after it. Because what do they see in me? Go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. You know why I can follow those commands? You know why I can do what Jesus would have me to do? Why we all can do those things? Right here in Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse number 28. And one of the scribes came And having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. We can go to other places to ask who our neighbor is. It's everyone. Everyone. That's your neighbor. You love everyone as you love yourself. You take care of everyone around you the way that you would take care of yourself. That's the expectation God has. And why does he have it? Because if I do what verse 30 says, follow that first commandment, if I love the Lord God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, you see it? That's the entirety of my being. If I love him, then I have zero problem loving everybody else. We talk about this, Genesis 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us create man in our image, according to our likeness. Well, if that's the, when we think about God giving that image of himself, the image is to all mankind, that there's not one of us who's not created in the image of God, who doesn't have that eternal spirit that will go on to live with him or go on for all eternity to live. All of us have it. And so if all of us have it and I love God that much, then I'm not going to allow anybody that I come into contact with not to see that in me. Especially those that I get to have the opportunity to know firsthand. The first ones that we get to grow close to in the body of Christ, the ones that we get to spend time with, the ones that have chosen to become a child of God, the ones that we think about, we get to see, there are people that we come into contact with every single day. This is what they need to see. They need to know that we are there. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. If you will look with me there, we're going to begin in verse number 9. And I'll tell you that for me, Thursday evening, these were some of the first verses that came to mind. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. There's my responsibility. Let love be without hypocrisy. You abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Don't let go of it. But then you notice, if that's my attitude from verse 9, then those following verses that come, I'm going to be kindly affectionate to those around me. I'm going to give preference to them over myself. And I love verse 11. I'm not going to lag in diligence. I'm going to be fervent, active, moving. That idea there in fervent is I am eager and I'm looking for opportunity to demonstrate this type of attitude to the people around me. That I can't wait to have this type of attitude. Notice where why? In verse 11, the end of that. Serving who? Myself. I'm serving the Lord. If those are my attitudes, then I'm going to have that attitude that also looks for reason to be able to rejoice in hope, to be patient in tribulation. And I'll continue steadfastly in prayer. You see, those are the things that help my prayer life. Because if I am constantly looking for ways that I can serve the people around me, and in so doing I serve the Lord, then I'm looking for the good and the great in everything. When somebody has something great happen to them, I don't have the attitude of, well, why couldn't that have happened to me? No, instead, I'm excited for them, and I rejoice with them. And we talked before, we have a couple of people that, and there's more than a couple, but there's a couple first and foremost that come to mind. Man, they have put a lot of faith in stopping what they knew and the jobs that they had to take on something different. Did it help your prayer life? Boy, it should have. Did you get excited for them? Because if you didn't, you're selfish. We got to be excited. We got to be ready to be there. We get to pray. Do you understand that? We get to pray for them. We get to be excited for them. We get to be there for them. Otherwise, I am lagging in diligence. I'm not serving God. I'm looking out for just me. Because then I'm going to have an attitude that says, why couldn't that have been me? He goes on in verse 14 to say, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. My responsibility toward my brethren is not to say I love you. It's to show up and demonstrate that love. That's what God expects of us. And in so doing, I serve the Lord. And because I'm serving the Lord, that spreads to everyone else. We think about this love. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We call this the love chapter. We're not going to go all the way through this. We're not going to go any further than verse number 1. Because if my life doesn't demonstrate it, if I'm not going to be there, if I'm just going to give lip service, this right here describes me. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I've accomplished nothing. Zero. Because there's nothing in harmony to allow me to be able to demonstrate what I'm supposed to do. I can have a silver tongue. I can speak the most eloquent words. I can do all of those things. But if I don't back it up, I'm nothing. And people are going to listen to me speak, and that's all they're going to hear. It's a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal, because they're going to know that my actions don't back up my words. We've got to be people who take action. Thursday evening, I will tell you that for the staff and the counselors, as we sat there, stood there, and watched, you kids are awesome. And being able to watch you Thursday evening was something I will never forget. I will never forget because you guys became as unified as I've ever seen a group of people become in my life. I watched as older cabins, we have 1, 2, 3, and 4. 3 and 4 are the older cabins, 1 especially is the youngest cabin. And I watched as cabin 4 embraced cabin 1. And I watched as cabin 1 embraced cabin 4. That they were going to be there for one another. That they weren't going to allow this moment to bypass any of them, even after, you know, Brent and I both had asked for cabin 1 counselors to gather their kids and go and get them on up to their cabins and get them ready to get in the showers and get to bed. You would watch. It was like herding cats. They would, one of them would find a small gap in people
And their counselors would think they had them all, and one would slip right through that gap, and they would go to look for the one, and as soon as they turned their head, the rest of them, just like smoke, they vanished. And they were back in with the rest of the group, and they were hugging on them, and they were lifting them up, and they were doing everything they could to be there. And in the moment, you couldn't even begin to be upset with any of them. Nobody was sorry. Nobody was upset. Nobody was anything but in awe of all of them. It was incredible to watch. It was incredible to watch because what you saw was people who took action. They didn't just sit on the sidelines. They didn't just sit back and watch seated in pews. They were all up. They were all there for one another. When we got ready to leave, Brent made the comment. He said that this is a challenge you'd give for the rest of the year, that you guys continue this same attitude. Don't let this bypass you. Don't let this go away. Don't let this flame die. And I hope you take that seriously. I hope you take that to heart. I hope you don't. But it's something that every single day, if you look at these verses and read them, pay attention to what Paul has written. Pay attention to what Jesus has commanded. The expectation, the standard set, is Jesus in the way that he loved all mankind. That he is willing to die for us. And he went to the cross for us. The expectation he has of me is to do no less. To make sure that I don't give lip service or tell somebody, but I show them and I show up. There's the responsibility I have. Every time. Because that's his expectation. This command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you to do. We sing the song, I'll be a friend to Jesus. Do you mean those words? Or do we sing them out of habit? Every day, the responsibility we have is to be his friend and to demonstrate it. Tonight, I want you to think about you for a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. If you spoke with the tongues of men and of angels, do you back it up? Do you demonstrate that love? Or have we become nothing more than a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal? I can't just say it. I got to do it. Love is action. And that's what Paul is going to finish out that section with. Love's action. It's not selfish. It's selfless. Love doesn't give up. It bears with. Bears with means that I'm going to take your burden, I'm going to put it right here, and I'm going to carry it right alongside you, and if I can carry it for you, I will. That's what it means. Love is an action, never just spoken. I would ask you, think about you. You love Jesus? Are you a child of his? Do you love him enough to follow his commands? You know, we talk about God's plan of salvation. You know, you can find every step of the plan of salvation that Jesus spoke. We talk about faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, whoever hears my words and does them, I will liken to a wise man. We have to hear, we have to obey, put them into action. We demonstrate that belief, that same belief in John 8 and verse 24 that Jesus said, if you do not believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I have to believe in him as the Son of God. I have to be willing to repent of my sins. Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5. No, but unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. Be willing to confess him as the Son of God. Matthew 10 and verse 32. If you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He does not believe will be condemned. You see, if you believe something, you act on it. And that's what he's saying. You have to act. Take action.
You have to live faithful. Revelation 2, that last sentence of verse 10, again, the words of Jesus, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. That's God's plan of salvation. That's what he says. That's what Jesus requires. You have to submit to his will. Maybe tonight as a child of God, you think about you for a moment. And there's been more of this lip service than life service and showing up. And there are things that maybe perhaps you need the prayers of the congregation for, or maybe there are things in your life that you need to change and make right. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.